Radio. This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Welcome to the Whisker Report. We're a new podcast dedicated to helping anyone in the pet industry, whether you're in animal welfare or a for-profit pet company, get some PR and buzz for your nonprofit or business. Hello, everyone. I'm Mary Tan, one of the hosts of the show, along with my bestie, Alexandre Ricard, a French gal who hails from Vancouver, or actually France, but now lives in Canada, and she travels the world in the hopes of spaying and neutering stray cats across the globe. Bonjour, Alex.
Bonjour, tout le monde. And we're also here with our producer, Mark Winter of Pet Life Radio, who is the man who gets us to you each and every week. Hey, Mark. We were with one of your other hosts yesterday. We did a podcast with Isabelle on Covered in Pet Hair.
How was that? Was that fun? It's a fun show.
It was really fun. She's a great host. Like, she had games planned. Like, we had a really good time.
Were you drinking? Because that's the main thing on her show.
Yeah, we were drinking also. So, you know, really fun.
Yes, we were. And she kind of puts us to shame, Alex, because, you know, she really plans out the show and we kind of just kind of, you know, whatever comes out of our mouths is what happens.
You know, it's a different style, Mary. It's a different style.
Oh, all right. Well, we are so honored to be part of Mark's Pet Life Radio Network. And you can do PR for yourself with Alex, Mark, and I, who are going to help you each and every week.
And today we have the great pleasure of having Ethan Haber, the Hamster Man, as our guest, the founder of Happy Habitats. Happy Habitats is the first company to innovate in the small pet space in the last 40 years. Ethan creates unique toys and accessories for small animals, and especially the Halo, which is a small pet ball carrier. Thank you for coming on our show, Ethan. Can you tell us how it all started? How did you end up creating Happy Habitats?
Thank you so much for having me. I'm, you know, very happy to be here. So Happy Habitats started when I was a sophomore in college. I had an, you know, emotional support hamster. Me and my hamster Mooksie were very, very close. And one day we were out on the quad and he was in his ball and I was just chasing him in circles. And I turned and I saw an upperclassman walking her dog. And I was like, wow, I wish I could walk my hamster. And then I was like, why can't I? And, you know, that kind of got the ball rolling, you know, metaphorically and literally. It's only been ups from there.
Amazing.
When was that? When did you start? Like, because you said sophomore years. How long ago was that?
So I just turned 26 3 days ago. So it was 2019. It was 2019 when I first started the company. And we started selling product in 2022.
Wow. Alex and you are the same age. You're both babies.
No, I'm a bit older because you just turned 26 this year. I turned 26 last year, Mary.
Oh, okay.
I'm not a baby on this show.
So, Ethan, it's amazing. You're so young and you started Happy Habitats and you're like this amazing entrepreneur at such a young age. Tell us how you did it.
So I have two other partners. One partner is my father who works on the business with me. And then our third partner is a design firm, P9 Design in Edgewater, New Jersey. And they create products for major companies, Honeywell, Vicks, OXO, Swell. And they are partnered with us and they helped us create the Halo. And the original idea I had is very different than what we have now. And they've been an extremely valuable partner. So having them to help me, you know, I was throwing ideas at the wall and we were seeing what sticks. And just to get from there to here, it's been very valuable having them as a partner.
Wow, that is amazing. You know what? The Halo has won multiple awards. Is that right?
Yeah, we got Best in Show at Super Zoo in 2021. We got the 2020 award because it was the show that was canceled for due to COVID. Okay. Show at 2021, and it was an award-winning product at the Global Pet Expo in 2023.
You know, I met you first. The Fox station here in Minneapolis had asked me to do like a pet trends segment. And so I was walking all over the show looking for innovative pet products. And I saw yours in the new product showcase. And that's why I boogied all the way to your booth. And I'm like, do you want to be on this? And the first question you asked was,
do I have to pay for it? Which is a good question, because a lot of people don't understand the difference between earned media and paid media. So, of course, paid media is advertising, but what Alex and I do is earned media, which is just pitching your product on the merits of it and letting a journalist or an influencer decide if they really like it. But anyways, we have to take a quick break. And when we get back, we're going to dive more into this with Ethan. And we're going to also answer some of his questions when it comes to marketing and PR.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
And we're back with Ethan, the founder of Happy Habitat. Ethan, can you tell us some of the struggles you faced when you first started Happy Habitats? I know you said your dad is a partner. Did you have to convince him? Was it really hard?
So my dad's been a very valuable partner. You know, he provides his insight and expertise from, you know, just the years he's lived beyond me. He's much more wise than I am. And he's an entrepreneur and a businessman himself. So he's been very valuable along the way, helping us figure out where to, you know, shave costs down and good ways to market the product or reach out to people and innovative ways to just grab attention. So he's been very valuable for that. One of the first problems we faced, and this was, you know, very specific to, it wasn't specific to our brand, but it was specific to the timing that we did it, is we incorporated, we created, we had the molds ready to go for our product. And they were on one of those ships waiting to port in California during COVID. There was a year where we just couldn't do anything because we couldn't get our molds off of the ship to get them to our factory in Mexico to manufacture. So we were just, you know, sitting on our hands that whole time.
Oh, wow. I remember that there was a lot, I feel like a lot of pet suppliers were sitting around and retailers didn't have enough product from what I remember. So how did you go about marketing the Halo?
We've tried a bunch of different ways to market the product. We've tried, you know, social media ads, we've tried Google ads, we've tried influencers. And ultimately, what's just ended up working for us is Amazon, where we have the product on Amazon and we do Amazon ads. And we've had a very difficult time, you know, convincing the consumer to purchase directly from us off of our site. There's a much bigger, you know, barrier of trust you need to break down. But on Amazon, people buy product all the time, you know, in 2 seconds. So doing ads on Amazon, and it's something we stayed away from the longest time because my dad is anti-big business and he likes, you know, to help the independent retailers and small businesses. But as a small business myself, Amazon has given me the opportunity to, you know, get my product in front of exponentially more people and sell it to them at a much lower lift. So it's kind of this double-edged sword where they're taking most of the profit, but they're also, you know, giving us, you know, this revolving door of sales. So Amazon ads is where we've had the best success so far because it's just a niche product.
So you were also telling us you're part of some hamsters Facebook group. Is that helpful? Like, what is your goal when you do that?
So I joined a lot of social media groups for small pets at the very beginning of when I was creating this product and creating my company to bounce ideas off of small pet owners, because a lot of people who own exotics will tell you that they have to, you know, DIY home kit their own solutions for a lot of things. And that's not limited to just, you know, exotics or small animals. It could also be, you know, dogs and cats. People give their cats cardboard boxes all the time. There's all these at-home solutions for things that are, you know, either toys or equipment or accessories that people need to create. And I wanted to invent something that wasn't in the market, this value proposition of being able to take your small pet out and engage with them outside of the house, take them to your grandma's house, take to the park. That's what I really sought to create with the halo. And joining these, you know, social media groups allowed me to interact with people in an organic way and see what they had to think about the idea. And I would ask non-leading questions just to kind of see where their heads were at and what they were thinking.
So are hamsters really, who's the hamster owner in the US?
Ooh, yeah, it's interesting.
Like, what's the target demo of a hamster?
I would say the majority is families with young children. A lot of small pets are owned by kids, and then their parents are the ones that end up taking care of them. But there's also like a niche of college kids because they're in this dorm and they want a pet, but they can't have a dog or a cat. I mean, that's why I got my hamster, because I didn't think it would be fair to bring my dog and have him live in my dorm with me while I was juggling classes. So I would say it's parents with kids, college students, and then young adults are kind of the three demographics of small pet owners.
Tell us your experience about PR. Tell us everything you know about it.
So I was partnered with this PR firm in the past, and I didn't have great success with it. It might have just been a timing issue. It was pretty early on into my, you know, product's life cycle. We didn't really have like the notoriety or sales, so we might have engaged PR too soon. But I think PR is great for getting, you know, this information about your brand. But ultimately, what a lot of people want is sales. And brand awareness and sales are not, you know, equivalent. They go hand in hand. But PR is very valuable for brand awareness. When I had engaged it, my business's primary focus was sales. But now we're coming up to this time again where we have sales and brand awareness is, it could be a valuable thing again. So that is my experience with PR thus far.
A lot of people tell us, to be honest, like, I hired a PR agency and it wasn't that great.
Mm-hmm.
What made it not that great for you?
The PR agency that I had partnered with specifically would get our article on a website or get us a short news station listing or something. And they would list the total viewers of the site as viewers we reached when, you know, that was not the case. So the results were overinflated in my experience.
That is so true. So we're very transparent at Whisker Media. So a lot of companies, they want that data. They want to know how many people did we reach. But that is important to know that that's just a number of how many people were reached. It doesn't give you a clear number. It's impossible to know. Well, it is using Nielsen ratings if it's a broadcast. But that generally isn't as accessible. That information isn't accessible right away unless you're the television station. So when you look at this, you have to assume that it's a percentage that maybe really saw. I mean, it could be, you know, when you're watching television, you could be like baking a cake while the, you know, while the segment is on. And that still counts. And they actually have electronic measurement boxes where they can know exactly how many people, especially with streaming services and that sort of thing. But I just wanted, getting back to what I said before, I just wanted to let people know earned media is PR. That means you're not paying to play. That is the responsibility of whether it's the pet store owner, whether it's the pet product manufacturer, pitching this to try to get attention and seeing what sticks. Usually it's done, the way we do it is it's very targeted. We target exactly where your specific customers get their news and information. And of course, a lot of times it's social media, and social media is one of the best ways to do that. Of course, paid advertising, which we do not do at all, and that's not our expertise, is basically taking ads out. And getting back to Amazon, what was it like working with them? Because a lot of the small businesses we work with say it's kind of a nightmare.
So Amazon is like its own whole freaking beast. You could go to college and get a, you know, an undergrad, a graduate, and like a doctorate in just how and understanding Amazon. It's certainly beyond me. So my business, Happy Habitats, is partnered with this firm, Marknology, that specializes in Amazon, and they've been extremely valuable to us, helping us get, you know, sales and getting the right search engine optimization and doing the right keyword ads. I will say before them, we were partnered with another Amazon firm who we did not have success with. The first Amazon firm that we were partnered with, we were spending, you know, $3 to make $1, and it was not working out for us. But Marknology has been an extremely valuable partner to us, and they've helped us achieve, you know, positive return on ad spend, and we're getting money back into our bank account from the sales we're doing on Amazon. And they've been an extremely valuable partner. they are regularly engaged with Amazon. That's all they do. And they have a bunch of different clients and they're always on top of it because Amazon will change its algorithm on a dime and you have to adapt. It's not something you can just like, you know, spend a lot of time setting up and then you can go away from keyboard. You have to constantly monitor it. So my recommendation, if you're a small business that wants to succeed on Amazon, is to find a worthy partner that can help you do that.
Yeah, we have that episode. We actually interviewed Aaron and Stephen Gary from Acceleration, and they specialize in the pet industry and they help small businesses to get into Amazon. And Aaron was telling us all about Amazon, and with Mary, we're just like, wow, like, wow.
It's impossible for somebody to DIY no. Amazon. I mean,
yeah. If you're DIYing it, it's your full-time job. You can't do it as part of a bigger thing.
No. And Ethan, just going back also on social media, you said you tried social media, you tried influencer. Can we hear a bit more about that?
Yeah, there were. So specifically for small pets, it's such a niche category. Mm-hmm. I was able to find, you know, no more than 30 small pet influencers, which were people that were, you know, making videos with their, you know, hamsters, gerbils, mice on a regular basis. And that was their brand. And engaging with them was tough, too, because I'm sure, you know, as pet owners, everyone has an opinion. And there were certain people that, you know, didn't want to work with us for whatever reason, or they thought like it was a great product, but they had the, you know, XYZ they wanted to say. And influencers ended up just being not a viable path for us. What ended up happening was I kind of became the influencer for our brand. We have a TikTok account with over 10,000 followers and a few viral videos. And those were all just things I put out there.
Good for you. So do you say when you make those videos, do you say that you're the founder?
I do in some of the videos, and there are other videos where I just like post like a view of the hamster, like I'm not even in it. So it's a mix of both.
That's really good.
Why is there, when you go to the pet stores, the critter section is so small? In critters, I'm thinking animal welfare terms. So we're talking rabbits, hamsters, gerbils, that whole realm. It's tiny. Are you getting into the pet stores too? Can people find your product there?
Yeah, we're currently in Feeders Pet Supply, we're in Pet Supermarket, we're in Pet Value, we're in Petco Mexico, we're in Pet Land, we're on Chewy, we're on Walmart.com, and then we're in a few mom and pops here and there. And let me check my list to make sure I'm not missing any or other.
Like, what did the retailers say like about your product? They must have been pretty excited.
So retailers love our product because it's innovation in this space that just hasn't really had it in so long. We've learned a lot, you know, just creating a product and putting it out there. When we first created the product, we had it in this colored retail box and it wasn't moving well on shelves in the box. What we found is that our product is pretty complicated and it's hard to convey the value of it to the consumer with a static image. So what we ended up doing is we switched from a box to a clamshell, like a clear plastic clamshell. Mm. This clamshell has a hole cut out in it in the center so you can spin the ball while it's in the carrier. And the carrying handle is cut out too so you can pick it up and really engage with the product in real time on the shelf. And then you can kind of understand why you want this product. And we've had much better sales with the product in the clamshell than we have with the retail box. So it's been in this clamshell for less than a year. So it's been a very positive switch, but it's still new data that's coming in.
It's not easy starting a product. I mean, you have to think of all the different details and the slightest thing like changing the box. Now, I remember you gave me one for the segment and it was in a traditional box with just a picture on it. But the clamshell, I mean, the whole idea of that is brilliant. I mean, I totally see because people want to touch things. Have you ever noticed that when you go into the stores?
Yeah.
Even pet food, I saw people touching like the packaging. Like that's not even really relevant. I mean, packaging is important, but like in pet food, that I just saw that the other day here. And I like to watch people when I go to pet stores to see how they shop. And that's one thing I notice is people are always touching stuff. So when it's flu season, you want to be careful.
And make sure you bring gloves and hand sanitizer.
Yes, exactly.
Mary, we always say that cats are treated like second-class citizens, right? Compared to dogs. So where would you place hamsters and small animals in that?
If second-class citizens, hamsters and small animals are like a third-world country.
Yeah.
Mary, how do you, if you were the hamster woman, right, because Ethan is the hamster man, how would you go about it?
You know, I would start with a campaign showing tons and tons of like close-up shots of cute faces of hamsters. And I would really, you kind of need to do what the cats are doing now, which is to showcase the benefits and how loving a hamster can be. Because I think a lot of people think that dogs are the only animals that give back. Yeah. And they're the best because they follow and they do what you say. But it's now coming where people are starting to be told, you know what, you just have to go about interacting with a cat differently than a dog. With a cat, you're going to need a lot of negotiation. I imagine it's the same way with hamsters. Am I right, Ethan?
I would say you don't need to negotiate as much with your hamster. But if you get a hamster experiencing and your hope is to experience what you experience with a dog, then you're not going to, you know, get that experience.
Right. People just lump pets all together that, you know, yeah, they're going to be loving pets. They're going to want to sleep with you and all of that sort of thing. I can't imagine you could like roll over on a hamster and kill it, couldn't you?
Yeah, I guess that's a bit dangerous.
I would not sleep with my hamster. There was one time I had a pet hedgehog for 3.5 years. And there was one time I took a nap with my hedgehog in my sweatshirt pocket. But after I did that, I was like, I'm not going to do this again.
Oh my gosh. Ethan, you've had a lot of have you had most of the critter family?
So my goal in life is to, you know, work my way up the small pet food chain. So far, I've made it through 3 of the different hamster breeds. Well, sorry, 4 of the different hamster of species. There's 2 that are pretty close together. So it's 4 out of 5 of the, like, the main pets of hamsters and a hedgehog. But I'm working my way up the food chain. One day I'll have them all. Like Pokemon.
Yes. Go, Ethan, go. But one thing I would suggest to you is you have to sell to people that hamsters and all critters make wonderful pets. So you've got to showcase the hamster lifestyle. You've got to showcase how it fits in with a regular person's lifestyle. Yeah. And the fact that you can now take your hamster on a walk and it will stay safe with your hamster carrier is amazing. Like, I would totally suggest you starting, this is one that a lot of companies do, and a lot of times it takes off, is create a special day for the hamster. Are there special critter days or hamster days out there?
I'm sure there is somewhere on the calendar, but I wouldn't know of that off the top of my head. It's certainly an idea with some merit to it, though.
Yeah, you know, capitalize. And the ultimate dream for you would be HamsterCon. Just like CatCon gets like 10,000 people in Pasadena. Creating buzz is, you know, getting attention. And, you know, when you see their little faces.
Yeah.
There
but
you
it's
go.
Also changing the way we see them, because it's exactly what we're doing with cats. You know, now we're promoting adventure cats and, you know, cats that can take a flight with you. So it's showing that a cat can become your partner, just like a dog is your partner in life. And, you know, your hamster could too. A hamster is not just an animal you have in a cage in your apartment. It's a little pet that you can take with you outside and you can show it the world. So it's, yeah, promoting a different way of owning a hamster.
Yeah, people, one of the big pushbacks that we had when we first created the brand is everyone was like, you can't take a hamster outside. And the crazy thing about that is they're wild animals. I mean, they weren't born in a cage, you know. That's something we manufactured and created. It's almost like Wicked with the animals. I mean, animals deserve to be able to go outside and experience all these new sights and smells and stimuli that can, you know, enrich their lives. And pet enrichment is a very valuable thing. So being able to get your small pet out there safely into the world is something that, you know, I'm spearheading, and we're starting to see less pushback on it. And it'll be curious to see how things continue to change.
When you went to Super Zoo and Global, did you take your hamster with you?
You can't fly with small animals. They can't handle the pressure change from ground to...
Okay, another idea for you is to work with a critter rescue or the local humane societies where you're going, because they have a lot of critters usually. And they could bring in a lot of critters.
Yeah, you could have an adoption event.
Yes.
That's a great idea.
The other thing, Ethan, since I looked and there's no adventure hamsters out there, so it's up to you to become the adventure hamster owner, to show people and showcase people. And I find that that's what a lot of these influencers doing? Like our good friend's Surfer Cat Mav. He travels the world. He's this cat, this Bengal that goes all over the world. And they have their own line of pet products, right, Alex?
Yeah, like harnesses and leash to show everybody like you can do it too.
And so that's what you need to do is take...
promote the adventure.
Who's your current
hamster?
I forgot his name.
My current hamster's name is Stripe.
Stripe. You need to take Stripe everywhere you go. Take him on a subway. And you know what? Get great pictures of him, you know, at all the various New York City landmarks. And here's the thing. I bet, like, if you reached out to the PR people at all these landmarks, and they all want attention. And what would get more attention than a cute little hamster at their place? You know, take him to a Broadway show.
I have a recommendation, actually. So I live in Vancouver, and in my neighborhood, we have a Facebook group. And there's a famous cat in my neighborhood. So it's somebody's cat. And she dresses her cat. And she takes the cat to the beach. And then she will send a message into the Facebook group being like, Sparkly is at the beach from 2 to 5 today. If you want to cuddle, come. And so that cat is becoming like the ambassador of our neighborhood. Because everybody, you know, no one really sees cats in harnesses yet. It's still not like something you see every day. So people go just to see the cat and take pictures. And I feel like that's maybe something you could do in New York. Like, look at my hamster. Stripe will be here from 2 to 5 and yes! Central Park or something.
You know, we love your product because there's so many fun things you can do with
it. Yeah.
You know, and the fact that you created it yourself, like you're the story behind Happy Habitats. And plus your name is great. Like it's just really well done what you've done with your product.
Thank you.
But we need to take a quick break because we got to pay for the show and we'll be right back.
Begging to hear more of your favorite show? Full episodes of all our shows are available on demand. Go to PetLifeRadio.com to fetch our entire lineup of Possum Pet Podcasts. Also, dig us up in iHeartRadio and iTunes. Let's talk pets. Live and on demand, only from Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
We're back with Ethan. So now is the part where Ethan can ask us some questions.
Yeah, so my first question is, what does a relationship with you as a PR agency and a brand look like when you guys are trying to work off of earned PR?
You want to do that, Alex, or shall I answer?
No, you go for it.
Okay, so we're a little different than most PR agencies because we don't believe you need long-term PR, except if you have a great story to tell constantly. So most pet companies that we work with, you know, the big legacy brands like the Purinas, the Hills, that's a little different. But the average startup and the smaller to mid-sized business, you don't have continually great stories. And the way to get earned media or great PR is you've got to have a compelling story pitch, which is usually emotional and like makes people feel something. And your product, absolutely. When people see, like when I initially saw your product, I didn't even see a hamster in it, but it immediately triggered in my mind, oh my gosh, hamster owners now have a way to take their animal with them wherever they go. And I didn't forget that. And so it's the same way with working with the media. It's just getting the right story pitch. And so we believe in shorter term contracts because we also know that you need an ROI. And a lot of pet PR agencies, not PR agencies in general, are going to say, yeah, no, it's not necessarily about sales. It's about brand awareness. Well, you know, brand awareness is important for sales. But in the end, it's about, we know whether you're going to continue working with us depends on whether or not you're getting sales. Like you had talked about that earlier, right?
Yeah.
We saw all these numbers, but it didn't translate into sales. Also, you know, you really do want to ask the PR agencies for examples of some of the work they've done, what case studies and that sort of thing. So that's kind of how we work, but we have turned down work because somebody needed help pitching a product, But they also didn't want to, you know, the owner founder didn't want to invest the time with us to tell us the background of it. And you know, we need something to go by. We're not just going to put out a press release that says, here's the Halo. It's been around for 2 years. Like, nobody really cares. But for example, if the Halo had a compelling story we could share, like, for example, the story you talked about being on campus, a huge dog walk was right, you know, close by you before you invented the Halo. That dog, it could have been a terrible, terrible result for Mooksy, right? Like, I would tell that story. That's a really, I mean, you're going to feel like, oh my God, that hamster could have been, you know, devoured by a dog. And we would have put you out there talking about how scared you were, mm-hmm. and how you realized, like, this is horrible. And so, you know, I also come from a crime background. So for me, if it bleeds, it leads, or, you know, death, destruction, fear, loathing, that always attracts people. But, you know, we don't want to do that. We want to do a more positive side of things. But, you know, that's one way. You need to look at it like that is your story. Like, and I know that you actually use that story in your marketing, correct?
Yeah, it's my pitch when I am presenting the product to whoever it may be.
Ethan, you are on top of things. You're not even a PR person, but, you know, you did really great. And I looked at your website and I'm like, he's got it, you know, which proves, you know, we want you to hire us, but we also realize that a lot of small startups and mid-level companies, they can't afford, you know, they're too busy giving their profits to Amazon.
And something also Mary didn't mention is be careful with agencies that will overpromise results, because, you know, in PR, it's earned media, so you can never guarantee anything. But the thing I've seen with Mary and since I joined Whisker Media is that she always goes above and beyond to provide something. Like, she won't stop until she gets results.
A PR agency should... We did have one client where we just couldn't get anything. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of our philosophy on how we deal with things. A PR firm should never, ever promise you that you're going to get them on this media and that media. A good PR agency is going to be transparent that they can't guarantee anything. But I can tell you from our side of things, we're going to do everything possible to try, you know, to make your PR dreams come true. And sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. So there's never any guarantees. Alex, do you have any thoughts too? Or?
No, that was good, Mary.
That was great. I really appreciate that answer. Just one follow-up answer is something you kind of touched on a little bit with the pushback is when you have a product or a service or something you're trying to promote that is divisive, how do you go about, you know, kind of channeling that energy and getting a positive result? One thing I had with my product when I was, you know, first promoting it is we got some pushback because there's a stigma that's anti-hamster ball. Is like the ball they roll around in the small pet community. And, you know, my invention sought to, with the Halo and then the roam the ball by itself, we sought to kind of solve all those issues. And I think we did a very good job of doing that, but it's still a hard thing to convey to the customer because they'll just see it and they'll go, no, hamster ball bad. But we got rid of the paw trapping. We made it like a safe structure for the pet to be in. And people always just say edutainment, and I'll stop talking and let you answer. But I'm curious how you handle a divisive topic.
For me, Mary, I'll go. For me, is get an expert that will prove that your product is actually good for the hamster. So, for example, I would guess for you, it's a behaviorist that will explain the benefits of the Halo.
Absolutely. It's about getting credibility. Also, yeah. Talking to, I went to the VMX conference last year, which I think is coming soon. It's the veterinary conference. And I met some critter veterinarians or people that do, there are people that specialize in them. You need to get an expert, somebody with, you know, DVM or something behind. That would be one way. The other route to take is that you just have to realize, and I think every brand that puts something out there, there's just people that are always not going to like your product. And these are like, tend to be the same people that complain about anything and are just negative Nellies, and you've just got to shut them out. I've seen that with, you know, we represent a raw kibble manufacturer, and the amount of pushback we got from, you know, the anti-raw diet people, that's going to happen. When you're formulating campaigns, you have to realize that, but you have, you know, you kind of, before you launch the product, you should do some research to find out what the negative feedback is going to be. And sometimes you may not just have to launch it to find out, but you do need to come up with some thoughts on wording and an explanation to combat their concerns. if you start getting a lot of concerns and it's coming from a much wider group of people, then you need to relook at your pet product. Mm-hmm. Because we've had products where we're like, we can't promote this. We put it out there. And the sentiment from people who really matter, people with expertise, if there seems to be a wider swath of people feeling concerns, we're not just talking 20 or 30 people, but if you're starting to hear like from several hundred people on Facebook or that sort of thing, you do need to look at your product because there's a lot of products that don't work in the pet industry. Mm-hmm. And I can tell you a story about a litter box. I worked with a litter box company. The litter box was way too small. Most American pet cats are really fat. American pets in general are 60% of U.S. pets are really fat. And Minnesota has the fattest pets in the nation. And it's just because it's cold and so the dogs don't get out, right? When it's 20 below zero, it's kind of hard to, you know, run your dog around unless it's like a big Newfoundland or something. But you know, make sure that you are taking consideration into the people that matter and relook at your product. When I was working with the litter box company, they had designed the litter box size to fit an Amazon box because, as you know, Ethan, the size of the box that it ships in matters, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's where a lot of our profit goes.
Yes, exactly. And this was just not going to work. And so they redid the litter box. It now comes in a huge jumbo in XL. The company was sold for, you know, millions of dollars. And now it's all over, you know, Petco. It's doing really well. So that's just something to remember. Look at the criticism. If it's just, you know, Joe Blow, a random person, but if it starts coming from, you know, even rescues and shelters bring a lot of credibility. And so I always tell pet product people, showcase your product to behaviorists. Because if you get a seal of approval from somebody with expertise and credentials behind their name, it adds so much more.
Thank you.
Okay, Ethan, just tell us where people can find you, your social media handles, your website, where they can buy your product.
So our social media handles are at happy, H-A-P as in party, P-Y, dot habitats, H-A-B as in boy, I-T-A-T-S. You can also get us on our website, happyhabitats.net, and then also at the retailers that I spoke of earlier, you know, Chewy, Walmart.com, Feeders Pet Supply, Pet Supermarket, Petland, Pet Value, Petco Mexico, and also Amazon.
Perfect. Thank you.
Well, this has been a really long show, partly because I talk too much. That's a wrap for this show. We're so excited to be doing this for all of you. We love folks like Ethan who are making the pet product industry far more innovative. And, you know, you're also making life better for animals. And Ethan, shout out to you for helping all the hamsters out there. So do you have a question? Do you want to ask us questions just like Ethan? Well, reach out to us on Instagram or Facebook under Whisker Media, and we're going to try to answer your questions in a future podcast. If you want to be a guest where we answer some of your questions, we'd love that too. So as we always say,
bark loud and purr smart.
See you later, everyone.
Let's Talk Pets every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.